Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Happy Mother's Day to you mothers, those who, and grandmothers, maybe even some great-grandmothers amongst us, I don't know. We've got some, and some of you may not have your own biological kids, but you still mother on every kid you get a chance to, right? I know a woman who was never able to give birth to her own child or children, but she and her husband would lay claim to hundreds, if not thousands, of children through the work they've done through various children's ministries, in their case, across the globe. Mothering is a very special task. It's both a privilege and a blessing from God to mother, right? May God richly bless each of you who chooses to mother in such a way that those whom you mother rise up and call you blessed. Amen. I want to give praise to God. I have to shout out to God for Scott. Scott Carr has had his first chemo and did not have the negative reaction that could have been possible. We're giving Jesus the credit for that. So praise God. I also want to let you guys know that LJ, Lindley Joe, whom we've been praying for a long time, is here with us in our midst, and they're kind of right smack dab in the middle of us there. And later, toward the end of the service, of those who would desire, we're going to have a dedicated prayer time for LJ. She will start radiation this Wednesday, is that right? That could be a really scary thing for her, and we just want to just cover her in the peace of Christ and the love of God as she goes and undertakes that that step. And just to reiterate, Timothy said it once, I'm going to just say, remind again, we've got baptisms next Sunday after service. We invite everybody to come over and be a part of that blessing, be a blessing to those who are choosing to make that public statement and be obedient to what Christ calls us to do. Once we've repented and choose Him, then baptism is a natural precursor to that. We here at Community Fellowship don't require baptism, but we do recognize it as something that Christ calls on us to do, and we want to support folks in doing that. And if you're one of those folks who still wants to or needs to do that, come up to me after church or call me on my cell phone this week or text me. Let's get together and talk about that. Okay, I've chosen to title today's message, What Now? What Now? So at the end of last week's lesson in Acts chapter 2, I think it's verse 41, 3,000 people responded to Peter's sermon, the Holy Spirit's sermon through Peter, I should say, and they accepted Christ. They repented and were baptized, presumably that same day. But don't you know, every last one of them was asking the question, what now? What now? I mean, this was a great day, but what now? Folks, we should be asking that question today. What now? Hopefully, many of you, some of you, One of you has recently taken a major step, whether it's an initial commitment to Christ or a recommitment to Christ or growing understanding of what your earlier commitment to Christ was about. And you should be asking yourself the question, what now? Because life really should not continue as it was before. There should be changes. Changes in what you do. Changes in what you say. Changes in what you feel. Faith in the Lord Jesus, as evidenced by repentance and baptism, was the common bond between those 3,000 plus believers. And that's the common bond that we here in this room this morning should share. I'm not saying every last one of us. I pray that there's some of us in here who are growing into that, who aren't there yet, because I want us to be reaching folks who haven't already been reached. But we have that common bond, and as a result, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family members. The couple I spoke of when I was mentioning Mother's Day, very special friends, who they truly live and walk with Christ in a way that I only try to do. Patsy and I visited them in South Africa, where they were missionaries at the time. We got to worship in a really, really neat church in a village in South Africa. We got to go in and serve meals to the absolute most underprivileged children in the world in Swaziland. And everywhere we went, we felt this kinship with the believers in our midst, who were making these things happen. We were treated as family. We treated them as family. That's what being a part of the family of God is. That family exists everywhere. We really don't have a monopoly on it here at Community Fellowship. I do pray that we have a growing sense of family among us as we do this more and more together. But by golly, you want to feel the sense of family, folks, beyond our congregation, go down and serve at CARE one Saturday. You'll find other folks in this community who love Jesus just as much as we do, and they're your brothers and sisters, too. It's wonderful to have that. So this is that sense of family that these 3,000-plus had back then. Now, granted, it was probably difficult. So imagine, this is God choosing these folks to respond to His Holy Spirit. And, God is no respecter of persons. He does not see classes. He does not see races. He does not see wealth versus lack of wealth. He doesn't see that. And so you got a whole mixture of those folks in this 3,000-plus individuals. Praise God. And I see that here amidst us. Praise God. And I hope you're not one of these folks who's checking out Community Fellowship, seeing if this is the church in town. This is the one where the people go. This is the one where the important folks go. I hope that's not you. And if it is you, I hope you don't find what you're looking for here, okay, in terms of that. I hope what you do is stay and find that you need to be looking for something different instead of that. I hope that you want to be a part of a church family that is actually serving one another, being there for one another, not seeing racial lines, not seeing class lines, but just being the family of God together. And I believe that's how this new church started out. Let's go to our initial set of verses for today, which comes from Acts chapter 2. We're picking up in verse 42, which is immediately after what we read last Sunday. This is immediately after the 3,000 came to saving faith in Jesus. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That was a lot in there. So we're just going to quickly highlight some elements that are in those verses. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. What's that? Well, it's basically what we would go to our New Testament for the apostles' teaching. It's the Gospels and the Epistles. While all of that is not written directly by the apostles, it's by those who learned from the apostles, much of it by Paul, who was considered an apostle. So, we do that here, right? You're here listening to me because I'm claiming to be proclaiming the sort of things that the apostles would claim, and I hope you'll hold me accountable to doing that over time. Fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Oh, I love fellowship. I consider fellowship, especially when you sit down and share a meal together, just enjoy one another's company, right? That's fellowship. We do that here. Those of you who are in small groups, we've got a number of small groups. Some are beginning to take breaks and may not start back up until fall, but we encourage folks to be in small groups because that's where you get to be affected by the apostles' teaching and by fellowship. The next thing we see there is breaking of bread. I take that to mean sharing in the Lord's Supper together, what we typically call communion. So they were going through that as a remembrance of Christ, remembrance of his broken body and shed blood, because that was at the core of everything they were doing. So to remember that by breaking bread together. And of course, we have prayer listed there. Prayer. Prayer should undergird everything we as a church do. We pray together here in church. We pray in our small groups. You pray with your families at home, hopefully. And I pray to God that you are spending your own personal prayer time someplace quiet and private. Not always. Sometimes it's in a noisy truck for me. Sometimes it's in the middle of a field, but it can be anywhere, right? And it doesn't have to be with flowery language. It can be just like you and I talk to one another. Prayer. So, that's all a part of what they said they devoted themselves to, but it also says they were together and shared their possessions as there was need. That's a tough one for us materialistic folks in a society where so much of our energy is put toward acquiring more, possessing more, taking pride in what it is that we possess. And yet, when the Holy Spirit came on these folks, that got turned upside down. And they started thinking, this is not mine anymore. This is God's. These are God's people. This is God's family. I've got some folks over here who need some of what I have. So I take from here and I put here. That's a new concept for a lot of folks. But that is a big part of what it is to be the church. Now, I'm not suggesting we need to become a commune, you know, all live together and share and share alike. And no, that's not what I'm suggesting. But I am suggesting that you need to take a really close look at how you view your stuff. Because when it comes right down to, if you've given your life to Christ, you don't have any stuff. It all belongs to Him. And you need to, He's trusting you to be a good steward of that stuff. I strongly believe that the Lord would desire the church today to look more like what we just read than what mankind has turned it into. We've institutionalized the church. It's no longer that fluid, loving, people-oriented body that it was on those days and weeks after Pentecost. I really believe God would want us to get back to that. I doubt that the apostles dressed themselves any differently than the folks who sat at their feet to learn from them. I don't think they put on flowing robes with ornate jewelry or tassels or anything like that. And yet these were the apostles. I'm sure they looked just like everybody else. I doubt that their times of worship together were filled with high-sounding, repetitious sayings and theological words that most of the people don't understand. I am sure that they spoke the common everyday language that the folks who were their hearers could understand. And I'm sure that they did it in a loving, congenial way. And I seriously doubt there was any differences made between races or classes or social circles, none of that. They sought to know God the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Do we do that here? I hope to God that is what we are about. That's what we need to be about. You're here today learning from the apostles through the New Testament. We've been doing that for over a year now. So, the answer to the what now question is what these folks were doing, right? They were spending time around one another. They were absorbing the apostles' teaching. They were praying together. They were fellowshipping together. We need to do more of that. Let's pick up. We're going to jump to chapter 4 because there's a similar section there in chapter 4 that reinforces this. We're going to start in verse 32 of chapter 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Very similar to the first set of verses, but still, I think it's worth our just highlighting some main points in there. They were one in heart and mind. Why do you suppose that was? I suppose it was because they were all focused on the same thing. They were all focused on Jesus. They weren't focused on their own stuff. They were focused on Jesus. If we all focus on Jesus, we're going to be of one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions. So they all shared. We covered that. They shared to the benefit of those within their midst who needed. Teaching about Jesus continued boldly. There's no need to keep meeting if you're not going to talk about Jesus and grow in your experience and understanding of Him. That's the goal. And the grace of God worked powerfully in and through them.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.